And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is power. Each of my guests is discussing a form of power, whether it's personal power, political power, or corporate power. My next guest is the CEO of Loyalty 360. He'll help us understand the three layers of customer loyalty to drive satisfaction and retention. And if you have a question or if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Mark Johnson is the CEO of Loyalty 360 and the Loyalty Marketers Association. Mark is committed to bringing loyalty to the forefront as a critical marketing strategy. He has created an unbiased market-driven clearinghouse and think tank through which users and loyalty providers can interact and collaborate. Mark is driven to give members of this expert insight and guidance that they need to develop strategies and implement programs that effectively engage their customers and employees and build stronger relationships with them. Mark has his undergraduate degree in mass communications from Miami University, an MBA from the University of Cincinnati, and he's currently pursuing an MBA in business information statistics from Xavier University. Joining us from Ohio. Good morning, Mark. How are you today?
Good. How are you?
Well, I am terrific. Thank you so much for being my special guest, and thank you for being a thought leader in this area because I find it fascinating. I just want to give some statistics so my listeners understand the importance of what you talk about and the reason that I brought you on the show. Here are some interesting and in some cases frightening statistics for business owners and senior leadership. 85% of customers claim to be satisfied, yet they're willing to switch suppliers at the drop of a hat. This is according to the University of Texas. 40% of satisfied customers switch suppliers without hesitation. This is according to the Forum Corporation. More than 60% of defecting customers indicated that they were satisfied right before they left their current provider. This is according to Business Week. And somewhere between 65 and 85% of customers who choose a new supplier claim to be satisfied or very satisfied with their former supplier. This according to the Harvard Business Review. So all of these statistics lead to one of two conclusions, Mark. Either loyalty among consumers is dead, or satisfaction doesn't equate to customer loyalty. You claim that it's the second, that satisfaction doesn't equate to customer loyalty. I want to ask you, though, whether or not it's true that that loyalty among customers just might be dead in this new economic environment. Is that the case?
No, I think it's actually we're seeing a renaissance in loyalty. Traditional loyalty programs were focused on points. They were both focused on thresholds. They were focused on the belief that companies, brands could get you to do something you may necessarily not want to have done. So customer experience is one facet of loyalty. Customer engagement as well as customer experience are all pieces that create a loyal brand advocate. And we're seeing groups that have higher loyalty metrics than ever before. Companies that are doing it well. You look at Apple, you look at Kroger, you look at Safeway, you look at Southwest, you look at American Express. People who take voice of the customer very, very seriously and develop products or services that they want and they respond to and they listen, those companies have higher loyalty metrics than ever before.
Wow, it's interesting, Mark. In that answer, you said that two of the companies that you named by name were, in fact, grocery stores, Safeway and Kroger, two of the largest grocery store chains in the United States. I find that interesting that they're developing such loyalty because, let's face it, groceries are pretty much a commodity now. It's all location-driven. So talk to me about how these two grocery companies are engendering such loyalty amongst their customers.
Well, you look at some of the things that Safeway and Kroger do when you get a mail piece. And again, loyalty is not always about points. It's about targeted communications that create engagement. So if you get a targeted insert, say from Kroger or Safeway, they look at your transactional behavior and they understand what you purchased, when you purchased it, and you may not necessarily always want a discount. You may want a special soft benefit, but when they do give you discounts, it's discounts that drive behavior. And we're always looking for the processes that create sustainable behavioral change. And that's what a Safeway does. That's what a Kroger does very well, is they use all the transactional or behavioral data, and they merge that with or confluence that with opt-in data, with warranty data, with survey data, to look at kind of the behavioral aspects. So they do a great job of really understanding who you are, what you want and how to drive that incremental purchase, whether it's a fuel program, a fuel perks program, or a fuel rewards program with a gas station or wine tastings. They understand more about you than you actually realize they do.
All right. Big data comes into play there. My guest is Mark Johnson. He's the CEO of Loyalty 360. Mark, let's take a look at some of the ill-fated customer loyalty programs that are out there. Most notable among them are the airline loyalty programs. Now, they originally had a great idea. They were once started to provide status and rewards to frequent flyers, but the programs over time have become meaningless. It's harder to book travel with loyalty points during peak travel times, and increasingly it takes more and more points to even receive a reward at this point. Yet you claim that loyalty programs can really transform a company. So obviously the airlines aren't doing it right. The grocery stores are doing it right. How do you develop a loyalty program so that you get that engagement that you're looking for from your customers?
Well, I think one of the big things that airlines don't do, and as a frequent flyer, as a million and a half miler on a carrier out of Atlanta,
that begins with the letter D,
area of Atlanta.
Yes,
I had an experience with them last week that infuriated me beyond belief. So I have a million miles. I wanted to fly to Chicago last week for a conference. I booked a ticket, and all of a sudden, with something going on, I kind of rescinded that ticket. Well, they told me point blank that my 32,500 miles, they were going to keep them, and if I didn't use that ticket, I was beyond furious. So I'm actually writing a piece this week for a couple different publications on that. So that is not customer centricity. That alienates someone who has not only a vested interest in that airline, but has a pretty big voice and can bash that airline. And I will take the opportunity to do so because loyalty programs are about listening to your customers. And airlines, by far and away, are the worst. You look at some things that the hoteliers are doing to change that. They used to be maybe second or third worst. The fact is airlines take, there's so few providers. They take what they take customers for granted. Even someone like myself, they were going to take 32,500 miles from me because I wanted to rescind my ticket, not charge me a fee. They were going to usurp those points. That is usurious. That is outrageous. And airlines, frankly, just don't care.
Well, it certainly is usury, but let's talk about it in a little bit more detail because the airlines are a very good illustration of a loyalty program gone bad. As soon as the airline started to issue these points, it became a sort of a secondary currency. I mean, you could buy upgrades with points instead of using dollars. You could actually buy tickets like you were trying to do instead of using dollars. All of a sudden, these points not only became valuable in the minds of the consumers, but they also became a liability to these airlines. And by that, I mean they're an accounting liability. It shows up on their balance sheet as a liability. So in the case of an airline, they're going to do everything in their power to decrease the numbers of liabilities that they have on their balance sheet. And it leads to bad behavior, as you said, by not giving you back your 32,500 miles. They are, in fact, doing what's right for the company because they're writing those 32,500 miles off of their balance sheet. But in so doing, they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Give me an example of a good program where things do go right, where you're listening to the voice of the customer and things fall into place that satisfies both the customer's profit needs as well as the customer's needs.
You look at a company like Starbucks. Starbucks has a number of feedback mechanisms from their online communities to mystarbuckscard.com to several other opportunities that they give as an amazing brand to let their customers engage with them. So take, for example, Voice of the Customer. I don't know if you remember or if you're a Starbucks person, but I really am not. But in order to go in and get onto their Wi-Fi, you used to have to pay $10.99 per session or $9.99 per session.
Right.
They had a huge fear about that. People who had loyalty programs, people who had the Chase reward card were furious about that. They rescinded it. They took it back. What they realized, it was better to have a happy and engaged guest who was willing to come in and pay $5, $56, $7, whatever the number is, for a latte twice a week than alienate them by charging a fee that some may not partake in. So they changed it. They developed products based on input from the customers. They developed store layouts. So they are very, very proactive in listening to the customers and developing programs that, as we talked about before, create that behavioral change. They realize that customers are the most important facet of their business.
Well, my guest is Mark Johnson. He's the CEO of Loyalty 360, and we're talking why customer satisfaction does not always equal customer loyalty. And I want to come back and hearken to what you just said in that answer, Mark, because there's a lot of good stuff there. But Starbucks listened to their customers, and they're trying to empower their customers, which brings to mind two follow-on questions about any loyalty program. First of all, if the customers are demanding more from their loyalty programs, won't they simply jump ship for a competitor's loyalty program who's just a little bit different or a little bit better?
It depends. As you know, it all depends on the value proposition. So loyalty goes into how you're communicating, how you're using data to drive offers. So those who have an engagement with a customer, who have a long-term dialogue, and that's again what loyalty programs are about, are creating that dialogue. So if there's an issue, if it's resolved, what we found too, if customers have a service level issue in a store, in lane, online, and the brand accepts the issue, apologizes for it, and makes some sort of rectification, that person ends up being a larger brand advocate than they were before. So there are opportunities to create loyalty, and we're seeing it time and time again with the transactional rates that some credit card companies continue to increase because they develop programs based on consumer interest, not based on a top-down CMO mentality of, I know what the customer wants, I'm going to push it out.
All right.
In the consumer packaged goods company, there are over 20,000 stock-keeping units developed a year. Only about 5% of them make it to the second year. So how inefficient is that? If you create a loyal and engaged populace and you develop products based on what they're interested in, you can cut R&D costs, you can just cut development costs for products. There are so many ways to create that dialogue, and that's what loyalty is about. The loyalty is not always about points. It's about creating that unique dialogue that will allow you to understand what the market is looking for.
All right, Mark, let's take this one step farther if I can, because as more and more customers rely on these loyalty programs and tie into them, isn't this sort of encouraging a sort of an entitlement mentality among the customers?
Potentially. Yeah, there again, too, I think the entitlement mentality, too, if you're focusing on only the hard benefits, so if you're doing what the airlines do, so you're giving points, you're giving copious points to where the American Airlines reward program is more valuable than the airline itself. I mean, there are some airlines that are looking to spin out their liabilities, their assets, to just create separate companies like they've done in Canada. So you're absolutely right. If you're only focused on the hard benefits, i.e. the discounts, and not creating a comprehensive loyalty strategy based on soft benefits, based on voice of the customer, based on customer experience, you will have those who are only going to join the program to be point hogs. And there again, those are the ones you're going to have the hardest time truly engaging and making happy because they don't believe in your brand problem or your brand proposition.
That makes sense. My guest is Mark Johnson, the CEO of Loyalty 360. Mark, differentiate for my listeners between the business-to-business loyalty programs and the business-to-consumer loyalty programs, because we really haven't differentiated those in my mind, at least.
So business-to-consumer program would be like a program from Sears Kmart or Target or Best Buy Reward Zone or an American Express Gold Card. So those are traditionally, you know, B2C programs. A B2B program would be something that a GE may run for its suppliers or an IBM may run for its suppliers and vendor network or Allergan may run for its doctor network, its medicinal network. So those type programs, they're going to very focused on behavior, changing behavior, and getting that product to top of mind status within that channel, with the distribution channel, the sales channel, the consumer facing channel. Those are more traditionally B2B programs.
All righty. Now, my guest is Mark Johnson. Mark, let's talk, if we can, for just a minute about the different metrics for measuring loyalty then with a business-to-business proposition as opposed to a business-to-consumer.
Same thing. So when you look at a comprehensive program, some of the best practices you see in a B2C program, you're starting to see in a B2B program. So looking at voice of the customer, looking at customer satisfaction, true customer satisfaction. And when you look at customer satisfaction, you have to look at behavioral or what people actually do and then what people tell you and kind of the neuroscience around that. So they're very similar. So engagement, brand preferences, customer service, willingness to recommend a brand. When you get into Fred Reichold and the one ultimate question, so the ability of a person to recommend a brand or product or service, a lot of these scores that you see in a traditional loyalty metric are you now seeing in a B2B environment as well.
All right. My guest has been Mark Johnson. He's the CEO of Loyalty 360. Mark, if people are intrigued by what you have to say, they want to learn more about you, learn more about your business, maybe even read your blog about the air carrier in Atlanta that begins with the letter D, where would you direct them to go?
That would be loyalty360.org.
Loyalty360.org. It's a .org. Mark, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.